All right, we're back and we're here in this elder course and we're starting to talk about what the elders do, protect the sheep, but what is so important before we dive more into that is what we're talking about right now, which is recognizing the enemy and seeing the strategies that he's doing.
One of my most challenging verses in scripture is this one right now. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. He had a really rather tenuous relationship with them, they had to work things out. But what he writes is, what I have forgiven, if there's anything to forgive, I've forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Now, if you are working in a church and you've experienced that there are people within your church who are at odds with each other and refuse to acknowledge the hurt that's been inflicted, it's going to impact your church negatively. In the very first church, that little tiny church in Plainwell, and God was giving us conversion growth. It was exciting. Those 4.5 years, it was exhausting too, but it was exciting. Two families in the church, prominent families, the children got married. And unfortunately, before I got there as the pastor, these two children had a very nasty separation and divorce. And so the one family handled it very well, offering forgiveness and saying, still want to love your daughter. And the other family would stand outside the church and were so hurt they couldn't let go of it. And would grab new people and say how rotten people here treat them. And so I remember visiting with them, and she said, I just look at that young man that we were trying to bring back to church. He had abandoned church and now is coming to a softness in his heart. She said, if he comes here, I'll be praying that a semi-truck comes and hits him. And I said, ooh. Anyway, so Paul is saying something similar happened here, that there is something at odds between him and the church. And he said, but I don't want that to become a tool that the enemy can use. But that phrase, we are not unaware of his schemes. I tell you, most of the time, I think I've been unaware of his schemes. What are his schemes? Here's some of what Scripture says about that. He's got power, pain and suffering. Paul is teaching about Jesus and says he went around healing all who are under the power of the devil. And then in Luke, Jesus says, this woman who is bound by Satan for 18 years, he's healing a woman on the Sabbath, and it became an issue. But apparently, Satan has given freedom in this fallen world of ours.
Right, to cause pain.
To inflict pain and suffering on people. Now, deciding which one is Satan and which is just the fact that the world's a mess, and that there are things as a result of the fall here that make us sick, viruses, bacteria, et cetera, accidents. That's hard to determine, but know that the enemy has the power to inflict pain on people, and watch for that. We'll talk about how you approach that in just a few minutes. Interesting statement in Hebrews 2:14, that Jesus came that he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. Now, generally speaking, that's thought to refer to the fact that the fear of death, that Satan can't kill people, that's reserved
right,
for God.
The fear of death is so powerful.
Right, yeah.
The devil holds that.
Yeah, and sometimes, boy, that can paralyze people. I remember visiting a man in my church. I was asked to go to a man in my church in California who was dying, and he was doubting whether he was saved or not. And so I'm going there, and this man had been a paragon of virtue. In his younger life, he was an alcoholic and messed up his family greatly and some of his kids greatly. And as he's approaching death, he was feeling so guilty that he didn't believe it. So he sits there and talks, but you're saved by grace. But the enemy comes in. And I've talked to many people like that in 40-plus years of ministry, that there's a seed of doubt that he tries to plant. Snares or traps. I love that. Our deacons must have a good reputation with outsiders so that they might not fall into the devil's trap. some translations say snare. Now, as a kid, I lived near a big woods, and I would try to create snares for rabbits. And it's pretty tricky, but not too bad. What you get is a very thin wire, and you anchor it to a branch, but it's in a loop. And when a rabbit runs through, the rabbit's too big to go through it, and so the snare will close on that rabbit, and then he'll try to fight to get out, and eventually will die. Now, Paul is using that language to describe what the enemy does. Mm-hmm. He puts traps out there for us. And he knows where we can be tempted. And so Paul is saying, be aware. Be aware, especially if you're in leadership, that he'll try to take you down.
Right.
Because if he can get a leader, he gets people along with it. So those things. Onward. He is able to inject wicked purposes into somebody's life. The devil had already prompted Judas to betray him. Acts 5 is where Ananias and Sapphira are bringing a gift, and they lie. They say they're giving everything they got for selling a piece of property so that they can look good, but they really kept some of it for themselves. Mm-hmm. And Peter's response is, how has Satan filled your heart? He can't enter and control some people. John 13, as soon as Judas took the bread, this is at the Last Supper, Satan entered him. Ooh, scary stuff, huh? He can torment God's servants. Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Now, that's a pretty powerful image. What they would do when they were sifting wheat is they would put wheat into a big container with very, very small holes at the bottom, and then they would just shake it and shake it and shake it and shake it until the kernel would become separated from the chaff, and then they would toss it up into the air, and the wind would blow the chaff away, and the wheat was left. But the idea is, in order to be wheat, you've got to go through, be forced through that very little kind of opening in the bottom of this container that you're working on. And so to say Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, it's saying, you're going to have a rough time.
Shake you up.
Well, and Peter, you know, that's one of the people I want to talk to, because I wonder if he knew about his, you know, when he denied Jesus, whether that went back to that statement or not. I wonder how he responded, and how the church responded when he was appointed to leadership again. But you know, he had to go through these big doubts, and he ended up weeping the night away. He can hinder God's servants. 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul writes to the church there, says, we wanted to come to you, but Satan blocked our way. He doesn't say how that happened. I always wonder about that. What blocked him? What blocked him? And again, discerning this as a leader is being aware. When you're watching, you're guarding, is Satan at work here? And you know, in other contexts, I've told the story about when our church was trying to get permits to build in the city of Chino, California, and we weren't getting permits. It wasn't happening. Right. And another guy's church was doing the same thing. They were wanting to expand, and I ran into this pastor of this church, and so I said to him, we're visiting the local hospital, and I says, so he was going to have a prayer vigil all night to try to figure out what they should do. Should they abandon this whole building project? What should they do? And so I ran into the hospital and says, hey, what did God say to you in your prayer vigil for your members that night? And he says, well, God told us it wasn't him that was blocking us, but it was the city of Chino. Well, you know, behind that, they had a vibrant ministry. And we ended up just, you know, one time after another, after one more thing we had to do, one more thing we had to do, one more thing we had to do to get permits to build. And, where is that coming from?
Right. What hand is maybe Satan having in that block?
Right, right. And so how do you go about warfare in those situations? We'll talk about that in just a minute. Put people in prison. Now, Revelation 2, verse 10, so the devil will put some of you in prison. He's speaking to the church in Smyrna. Jesus is speaking through the Apostle John on Patmos. And he's going to put some of you in prison to test you. Now, the theology of that is challenging, but sometimes God allows us to go through some stuff that tests our faith. One of my family members is going through that right now. And so, to listen and to love through that, but also acknowledge that the enemy may be part of this because it's been huge, effective service. So anyway, so these are things you watch for. The extent of his power, here's the summary list. Pain and suffering, power, death, snares, traps, inject wicked purposes, enter, etc., etc., etc. But there's more. He's got strategies. He uses all that power to create strategies. A strategy is a subtlety. In other words, he doesn't show up in the devil's mask and say, watch this. Genesis 3:1 says Satan, the serpent, was the most subtle of all animals. Ephesians 6:11, the passage on the armor of God, talks about the subtle attack of the darts, the fiery arrows. Guerrilla attacks, that whole thing we talked about devil's trap. He doesn't come out front and center very often. There are those who say they have experienced that. I have not. Schism. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 12 talks about how the church there was dividing, and it was dividing around personality. Some followed Paul, some followed Apollos, some followed Peter. If there's anything I've seen in the Church of Jesus Christ where I watch is division.
Mm-hmm. The devil definitely likes that strategy because it works really well.
Right, it works well, and sometimes it'll be, unfortunately, many of the challenges will be around a pastor or a plan for the church, hopefully we'll get to talk about conflict and how to handle that at some point, but it can be very, very destructive to the church. And your job is to watch and to guard and to make sure when there are those times, and we'll talk about times when you're dealing with conflict, how do you bring people together who are starting to splinter and fall apart? So that's part of it. Okay. Two more. Siege. In the armor of God, Paul talks about the day of evil, when the day of evil comes. Some people just have to go through a period of evil. I think of
hardship, terror.
Right, and I think of some friends of mine who died a long time of dealing with cancer and what that did to their family, what that did to children yet today. One of my brother-in-laws went through a long period of death by heart attack, but it took like a sixth heart attack before that happened. And anyway, and then surprise, the fiery arrows that show up. That was a devastating attack back then because they would shoot these fiery arrows over the walls of a city, and they would start fires within the city. But it would be a surprise.
Right, you don't see that coming, and then once it comes, it destroys so much.
You can't hear it. So how do you deal with that? Be watchful, be alert, and be in prayer. And when you have opportunity, the prayers, spiritual warfare prayers in the New Testament are commands to Satan to let go, to withdraw. And I've seen this happen several times. I remember I was discipling some new converts once, and they were wondering because their lives, since they'd become Christians, began to have all kinds of problems. I mean, he developed an eye disease that made it difficult for him to do his work, and so financially they were stretched, and it looked like the house might be repossessed, so they put the house on the market to sell it, and it wasn't selling, and one thing after another, after another, after another. And I remember I showed up, and we were just, you know, I was following this process to disciple new believers. And at the end of that session, the wife looked at me and says, "Is it always this way with new believers?" And my response was, "Often it is. You know, it's kind of the last gasp of the enemy to get you back in the fold." And so we went to prayer. And my prayer was commanding any demons that have been deployed in their life to break the chains they've been building and to go to Jesus, that he might dispense with them however he sees fit. And, you know, one example of many, in the church, when I would see division, I would command the enemy to withdraw. And others, I wouldn't do that all by myself all the time, but acknowledging that there's an enemy, but greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Mm-hmm. And all authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus says, it is given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations on the basis of his authority. And I've even said that to demons. You know, I come to you in the authority of Jesus Christ.
Right. So you've been given that.
Right.
Yeah, so you see all these strategies again. You're being appointed as an elder. You have such a place of being watchful and protecting the sheep. But, yeah, you can almost see all this and be overwhelmed. Almost that same thing as the list of all the things that you should be as a person, respectable, this and that. You see this list and be overwhelmed, but exactly what you just said, Bruce, it's like, you know what, we have been given all authority. Do not be having a spirit of timidness. You have a spirit of power, of self-discipline, of love, and in the Holy Spirit's with you in all of this as the devil tries to do these different schemes.
Right. And, you know, what a great opportunity in those situations. Now, I don't seek those situations out, but I have found, you know, renewed courage since I began studying this and seeing it to be bold, because it's Jesus' church, Jesus' people, Jesus' sheep that, boy, he's put me in some way, shape, or form in charge of their life. And now it was very interesting. I remember the service. I actually, you know, we would have services every once in a while where we invite people for anointing with oil after the service and prayer by the elders, right? So I would tell the elders this and give them some basic training on how to pray for people who are sick and dealing with such. And then one Sunday I announced, "Today, if you feel the pressure of what you think is a demon, if you feel the approach of the enemy in your life, I invite you to come forward and our elders are going to pray for you today." And I didn't think anybody would come forward. I really didn't. And yet, that day, there were about 15 people who stood in lines with the elders that were ready and equipped to do this prayer. And because they can sense it. They don't probably identify it. They maybe are unaware of his schemes, as most of us are. But you now are not. So be aware. And in your caring for your sheep, address it and gain victory. And the Church of Jesus Christ will thrive as a result.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.